If clouds are made of water, why aren't they blue? Why is it called silly putty when I take it seriously? Answers to these questions and more on this episode of This Paranormal Life! Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Paranormal Life, the comedy paranormal podcast where every week myself and my co-investigator, Kit Greer, investigate a brand new paranormal tale and come to a conclusion as to whether or not it's true or it's baloney. We have been doing this for longer than some of you little f***ers have been alive. When you were asking for Blanky and sucking on nip-nips, I was out in the forest looking for Bigfoot with binoculars and a gun.
Rory, sometimes I wonder if we're actually running a New York deli instead of investigating the paranormal. Because there's a lot of f***ing baloney.
It's true. You know, in this line of profession, it's very rare that you actually come across a case that is 100% certified paranormal. It does happen now and again. We do end up with a double yes at the end of the episode. And hey, maybe this week we're heading into one. We don't know.
Yeah, if this is your first episode, do not be discouraged. This isn't Most Haunted. This isn't one of those trashy paranormal shows where they tease you every 5 minutes dangling paranormal evidence that never comes. Sorry, I should clarify. The evidence never comes here either, but we do sometimes decide that it actually is paranormal anyway.
Kit, are you ready to dive into a paranormal case today?
I am almost ready. It's just been, I've had quite a big week actually, so I the slight update is that I'm actually getting orthodontist work. So as you can see, I've got my Invisalign bag here.
Whoa!
And yeah, I'm getting Invisalign done, so I'll just give
you
just
2 seconds.
Many people
don't know what Invisalign is. Should we explain it on the podcast?
Sure.
So, ghost braces is essentially, I think, the technical term for it.
Yeah, we're all familiar with braces. Invisalign, the general idea is that they're braces that you can take in and out. They're kind of see-through plastic things. I couldn't afford Invisalign, so I actually got Visalign.
Right.
Where it's extremely visible. Extremely visible.
It's like wearing a high-vis jacket on your teeth. Yeah. Kit basically glows in the dark now.
Yeah, I went to my local orthodontist. They showed me the pricing sheet and I almost slapped them in the face. So I went online and I found my Uzbekistani orthodontist, Alfred, I don't think that's his real name, and he put me in touch with the people who could get me Visalign. Visalign.
So he didn't even do it.
V-I-Z-Align. Yeah, Viz. High Visalign.
That's just braces, right?
So I'm just
Visible Invisalign? That's just braces,
I just
surely.
Need to pop them in. So yeah, I asked Alfred that. He actually just kind of talked in riddles around in circles. I couldn't really get to the bottom of
All
it.
All right, but before you pop them in, I just want to say those are huge, and I'm just a little worried that they might impact the audio of the podcast.
So I'll just pop them in.
Okay.
And here we go. And as you can see, absolutely no different whatsoever. So let's get stuck into today's podcast.
I think maybe if you're going to keep them in, maybe we stay away from S's on today's podcast or any hard T's.
You're being serious right now?
I am being serious, yeah.
I'm not going to be able to stay away from S's. You gave me a heads up about what we're investigating today. It's pretty super secret. So I don't think I'm going to be able to talk about a super secret.
This is the most S's. This is more S's than you usually say. It sounds like you're making
an
effort.
This is unbelievable.
This is silly. These superstitions are sanctimonious.
I am, of course, f***ing about it. They're not that bad, but if you do notice a slight difference. Alfred tells me it'll only be a few days till I get used to them. Any sensible podcaster would have got this kind of work done weeks in advance of needing to podcast. I got it one day in advance of needing to podcast.
It was yesterday,
so...
Yeah, for those who don't know, Kit and I had the proposal of a This Paranormal Life TV show dangled in front of us ever so gently. And even though it was viably never going to happen, we decided it was. So I got plastic surgery the next morning to get ready for the big screen. Kit has visible Invisalign on his teeth. We're trying to have a glow up so that when the big screen comes calling, we're ready to go.
Visalign, pec implants, ab implants, buccal fat removal, of course, eyebrow lift, eyebrow lower, because we went a bit too far the last time.
Of course, yeah.
And needless to say, once the TV execs saw us, they withdrew the contract.
Yeah. They were kind of like, all right, so those are the monsters that you're investigating. Where are the two paranormal investigators? He's like, no, it's us.
We're the investigators.
I'm an investigator. Sorry, investigator. Sorry, I'm getting used to your Invisalign. We're looking good. We're feeling good. That's the point. We've got to get into today's case.
And even if we're not there physically, mentally, I'm sharp as a blade, baby. And I'm ready to dive into a paranormal case. But first, a quick word from today's sponsors. Today's story begins in 1990 on the island of Sicily. A team of Italian archaeologists were excavating in the mountains, looking for the ruins of the lost city of Camarina, an ancient Greek civilization that existed on the island back as early as 800 BC. I should clarify, Sicily, of course, is in Italy today, but 800 BCE was colonized by the Greeks. That's why they're looking for a Greek civilization in Italy. The leader of the excavation was Giovanni Di Stefano, who watched over his team as they hammered away at the rock, chiseling through layers of history and deep into the past.
What I'm hearing is he is Indiana Jones.
Right, just mentioning excavation, archaeology, and a guy that's in charge of it all, he's gonna at least have a whip and a pretty cool hat.
And that guy over there is our boss, Giovanni. Oh, that's cool. Does he know the most about archaeology? No, but he has a revolver.
That makes him the boss. Keep going, men. We must be getting close now. I can feel it. The pickaxes hit the rocks again and again and again until... Over here! There's an entrance! The men cleared a passageway and headed inside. They had just discovered a site known as Passo Marinaro, a cavernous crypt of an ancient Greek civilization that had laid untouched for generations.
Passo Marinaro? I thought that was a type of Subway sandwich bread.
This is every explorer's dream, to find an ancient grave that remains untouched for generations. It's also every grave robber's dream.
Man, this was probably back in the golden age of archaeology because...
It was golden, brother. Trust me.
Because from all I've heard about life as an archaeologist today is that you study grueling hours for many years...
Yeah.
To try and become an archaeologist, and then you spend probably the rest of your life in a dusty, dirty field, mining to hopefully, if you're lucky, find a fragment of a Roman pot.
Yeah, it's always pots.
If you're finding an entrance to an unknown civilization, wow, that's beyond jackpot.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I'm not saying that I would rob these graves if I had found this site.
You just seem to be honing in on that quite a bit.
I'm just saying I'm going to take a little souvenir. You know, I put a lot of work in to find this thing. I'm going to take a little souvenir. I'm going to take a little coin, a little ring, a little gold tooth, a little golden goblet, whatever I can get my hands on.
Rory's entering the tomb with one of his colleagues and just really conspicuously drops a 50 on the ground behind him. His colleague's like, hey, you dropped something. Oh, did I? Oh, was that come out of my pocket? Oh, why don't you keep it? In fact, why don't you just make yourself busy for a little half an hour, an hour, or something like that, and let old Roar Dog just do a little recon mission. Just check it out. Make sure it's safe for half an hour. And then once I'm done, you guys can maybe come in and take a look around, do all the science stuff.
They come back after a coffee break and they're like, did you find anything, Rory? No, it's pretty boring around here. I'm going to head back to town. See you later, guys.
Trousers filled to the brim.
Coins leaking gold behind me in a trail. Look, all I'm going to say is, how come when I go to Disneyland and I leave with a Mickey Mouse fridge magnet, it's a souvenir? But all of a sudden, if I take some fucker's golden tooth from an ancient grave...
I gotta stop you.
Suddenly I'm a thief. Suddenly I'm a bad man.
Because you paid for the souvenir? I hope you paid.
Joke's on you, motherfucker. I ganked it. Straight in front of Mickey's eyes. He didn't see me.
Well, both are stealing then. One is not better than the other.
I just think it's a little hypocritical. That's all I'm gonna say.
We are so lucky as a nation that you are not an archaeologist.
Some people like to send postcards back to their families when they go visit a new place. I like to send my P.O. box a bag of doubloons.
Okay.
Is that so different?
The f***ed up thing is, as ridiculous as Rory seems, that is the attitude of every man, woman, and child that existed in the past.
Mm-hmm.
we've even covered it on this Paranormal Life before. Even Carter and all the famous Egyptologists from Britain who went there to, granted, steal many things in their own way.
Yeah.
They were about 1,000 years too late.
Yeah.
Every tomb everywhere on Earth has already been raided many, many, many times over.
Pretty much. I mean, hey, humans, we love to steal. These men luckily were professionals. They're not here to rob graves. They're here to discover them and study them. So they entered the tomb, and what they saw, they couldn't believe.
I don't believe it. It's the necropolis. It's huge.
The site was enormous. In fact, almost 3,000 human remains were discovered there.
Oh my God.
The men picked up their tools and began to excavate. Hours and hours passed as they uncovered burial after burial.
That's another one with no burial container. Fascinating. One might expect a civilization this old to have a more consistent death ritual, but we've got coffins, sarcophagi, private crypts. They were clearly more advanced than we ever could have imagined. Just fascinating.
Suddenly, a series of gasps and panicked murmurs erupted from one corner of the crypt.
Sir! Sir! There's something you need to see!
Went a little bit into the count there from Sesame Street, I will admit. My Italian accent can be improved.
Something you need to see! One crypt, two crypt, three crypt, all in a row!
Dracula was a pretty old guy, I seem to remember. He might have lived a few different lives over the years.
Yeah.
How did he afford that mansion in Romania? Now I think about it.
He lived everywhere. Romania, Transylvania, Sesame Street. Giovanni approached the circle of men hunched around one grave. He pushed his way to the front and crouched low over the burial, eager to find out what the commotion was about. And it wasn't hard to miss. This body wasn't just buried. It was pinned to the ground. The head and the feet of the skeleton were underneath massive slabs of ceramic, trapping the body below. And these slabs were huge. It would have taken at least 3 or 4 men to lift them. Whoever or whatever this person was, the people who dug this grave wanted to make sure they stayed down there. This is a pretty bad thing to come across when digging up graves. Best case scenario, you find a body, which is still pretty f***ed up. Finding no body, that's also kind of weird, because there should have been a body in the grave. And then the highest tier is finding a body that looks like it should have never been dug up, and yet you have dug it up. Time to start filling in that hole, guys, and then backing slowly out of the crypt and building that wall back up, pretending like you never came in there.
Yeah, our lead archaeologist pointed out earlier that there were some various and very interesting different funeral rites and rituals going on. All I'm saying is, how interesting do the funeral rites have to get before you start pouring concrete down into that hole?
Right, to make sure they stay down there.
Giovanni was mulling over what the hell it could all mean. Perhaps it was some kind of ritual killing. Maybe he'd become a drain on resources, so they weighed him down and left him here to die. It just doesn't make sense.
But before Giovanni could reach an answer, another man cried out.
Oh my God! It's another one!
Sorry, it was Dracula again.
No.
It's a different vampire.
Look, I'm trying my best. I was forthcoming with the fact that my Italian accent isn't great and I don't appreciate being mocked, okay? Because I'm trying my best here.
All I'm saying is it would be fine if we weren't talking about potential undead creatures underground here.
The men rushed over to find another skeleton trapped under the sheets of stone.
Christ alive! This one was only a child! Why would they do this?
Ugh.
If finding a second grave like this wasn't scary enough, this smaller body was being held down by even more slabs than the first.
All right, I do not follow.
What is going on here, Kit? From finding these graves, it seems like whatever circumstance these people were buried in, it seems like people were pretty worried they were gonna come back up out of the grave.
Unfortunately, I don't think this is even the first time that we've come across something like this. I think we've seen this in previous cases where I think back when people were a bit more literally scared of vampires and zombies and things like that, whether it's a voodoo tradition or whatever from around the world, we have seen things like people, whether it's removing heads or putting stakes and things like that through them. So there's definitely a paranormal precedent going on here, but I don't know. Is it literally that they think they're going to rise from the dead and they're trying to stop them?
Yeah, it's a weird mix as well, where you obviously cared enough about this person to give them a burial. So like, we want to do it right. We're going to get a priest, read them some scripture. All the friends and family will gather. We'll lower them into the grave. Then we'll drop a big fucking rock on them, because I think they might come back. And we all loved them. Hey, we all loved them when we were alive. No one's saying we didn't love them. But someone needs to crush that child. Someone needs to kill him again.
Can you imagine what that funeral service was like?
John, I just miss you so much, buddy. Stay the fuck down there, though. Don't you fucking, don't even think about it. And we know he was a fighter, because in life, man, the way he stood up for his friends and family and loved ones was inspirational.
Yeah. Known for his undying resolve, unfortunately. That's the boulders.
In life, in his work, you couldn't keep him down. In death, though, we pray to God that he stays down.
In death, keep him down. Keep him down, Lord, or the devil. We don't know. We don't know yet. Yeah, it's this funny mix where you're trying to be respectful and also live in constant fear they might come back.
Me and John, we were like brothers, you know. We spent every day at each other's houses, just shooting the shit. I have moved, though, John. I've moved house, so you don't know where I f***ing live anymore, so don't even try it.
Yeah, the priest at the service is like, and in death, may he finally find peace and resolution for all of his problems in beautiful serenity. Priest takes out a sledgehammer. Yeah! The skull explodes like a watermelon. Yeah, that ought to do it. He ain't getting up now. I mean, fill her in, boys.
You do make a good point, though, because if today we had this fear, which we don't tend to, we would, at the funeral, put a grenade in your coat pocket and just see you into the next life that way. Just explode you with dynamite.
Yeah.
And then there's no coming back. We wouldn't risk keeping you in one piece.
Yeah, lowering the coffin into the grave also ignites a fuse. We just drop the box in the ground and everyone kind of scatters. That's how we do funerals in the paranormal commune. Because we think everyone should go out with a blast. So now we've just been, you know, in true Rory style, strapping people to fireworks and just sending them up.
Bodies, not people. Bodies. Serving bodies.
Not live people.
We're not putting people.
Anything. Only the dead. And traitors, sometimes. And people who don't stay in line.
Okay, sorry, so not even just traitors?
Yeah, no. I'm getting a little fired up now. I'm saying shit that I shouldn't be saying. People. Not people.
No,
bodies.
Only bodies.
The bodies of those who defy
Stop
our
talking.
Orders.
Okay. Stop talking.
I'm just be careful. Just stay in line, is all I'm saying, if you're in the paranormal commune.
All right, let's do this off mic. Let's take this off
mic. Okay, sorry. So what is going on here? What is going on here, Kit? Believe it or not, this is not a unique case. All over Greece, archaeologists and historians have discovered graves where the inhabitants were pinned to the earth with rocks, chains, nails. Whatever these ancient civilizations could do to stop that body from rising again. In Lesbos, 1850, a body was discovered in a gravesite that had been speared to the ground with 8-inch nails.
Woo! That's a lot.
And we're not even talking like by the coattails. Through the face. In the hands. These motherfuckers are getting crucified to Mother Nature.
You know, there is something, I think if you were dead and you did turn into a zombie or a vampire,
sure.
I think there is something a little flattering about going to that much effort to keep them down. Like, I think it really speaks to how much drive and how strong they think you are. Like, I think if I personally died, I think my loved ones would, honest to God, just throw in a f***ing iPad in there and be like, he's so f***ing lazy. Literally put Netflix in there and he ain't leaving.
He's going to stay there.
It doesn't matter if he comes a zombie, a f***ing arugaru. As long as he's got Emily in Paris season 2, he's good.
Just chuck in a PS5 and like a bag of Doritos. He ain't getting up for at least 100 years.
Put a lifetime supply of Pringles. His little fat ass won't be able to get out of there.
It's just you in your coffin, full zombie transformation, like eating chili heatwave Doritos, watching Stranger Things season 11.
Just the theme tune to Breaking Bad coming on every 35 minutes.
Why are you a Furby? Me love Breaking Bad. Later, archaeologists found another instance of this. It was a body anchored by the neck, pelvis, and feet. And that was after they'd clubbed his head in.
Not the pelvis.
What pelvis?
What do they think he was going to be getting up to in the afterlife? This guy's hips do not lie. He is going to be trying to bang everything in sight.
We can't have him shagging angels in heaven. We need to pin him down. Do not let him up there. All I'm saying is things are pretty bad. And this isn't a one-off instance. Two dismembered bodies were found in Attica in Greece. One body was a woman who'd been cut in half, and then the door to her grave had been sealed shut from the outside with huge rocks wedged up against the entrance.
Wow, this really is astonishing.
So what was this ancient civilization so scared of? Why did dead bodies need to be pinned down? Well, kid, it's because of a creature that existed many years ago, one that tormented the ancient Greek civilizations, known as the Vrykolakas.
The Vrykola what?
The Vrykolakas.
Okay.
To find out more about this cryptid, we have to dive back in time to its origin.
I thought we were already back in time.
We're going back.
How much further back are we going?
Have you seen Back to the Future Part 3? We were already back in the future, and now we're going to cowboy times.
Okay.
The ancient Greeks wholeheartedly believed that the dead could roam the earth. And not only could corpses physically rise from their graves, but their spirits could be invoked by mediums to come out at night and f*** around with those who were still living.
Wow.
These walking undead were known as Vrykolakas, which in English pretty much does translate to vampire.
Okay.
Even though what we're talking about today is very different.
Yeah, they're not sucking blood necessarily.
They're not sucking blood. They do rise from the grave, but they don't have the fangs, not the capes. They don't turn into bats. This is a very different version.
They ain't sucking blood, but they might be f***ing.
Okay. Well, maybe the dude who had to have his pelvis nailed to the earth, but not the others. While they do share a lot of similarities, the Vrykolakas are very different. These creatures have flushed, dark complexions, swollen and bloated bodies.
Whoa.
They've been described as having a quote-unquote evil smell.
I'm sure they do.
And they have fresh blood oozing from the mouth, nose, eyes, and or ears.
You know what? I'm here for this. I'm here for this because...
Me too.
Twilight has set unrealistic body standards for the undead.
Yeah.
How pissed would you be if you went through life and all the bullshit and the pressure of the media puts on you to look good, and then you die and at least you think that at least I get to get away from having to look like a fucking 10 my whole life. I can just be an uggo in the dead realm.
Right.
And then Robert Pattinson comes in, skin sparkling, abs taut, waist snatched, perfect teeth, when I'm over there looking like a Vrykolakas. Fat, pudgy, bloated. I've been
bleeding
eating
from
Pringles.
My
I've been eating Pringles for 500 years.
Yeah, Twilight was a dangerous franchise because what it did was convince a generation of teenage girls that turning into a vampire was a cool, hot, sexy thing to do.
Right.
Imagine how many people turned and it was like, all right, cool. So what do I do now? Do I go to like a high school in Washington and like just bang a bunch of high schoolers or something? And it's like, no, you need to drink human blood. You need to drink human blood. Probably in the next hour, you're going to die. It's like, all right, well, I guess I'll just go outside and find a kid. I wouldn't. Stay light, son of a bitch. I wouldn't. You'll burst into flames. It'll feel like the gelatinous blasting heat of hell is igniting every fraction of skin in your body. So
Why am I here? You're telling me I can't bang? You're telling me I can't go outside?
You're like, can I at least turn into a bat? You can. I wouldn't, because it hurts like hell. Have you ever thought about what it would feel like for a human body to become a bat? It feels like getting squeezed by an industrial crusher. You lose all sense of yourself when you turn into a bat. All you want to do is eat fucking flies.
You know how uncomfortable it is to sleep in a bed that's slightly too small? All right, imagine getting squished onto the size of a grape. That's what becoming a bat is.
Yeah, so all these people turn into vampires. Thinking it was going to be a fun, sexy time, and what they ended up with could have been something similar to a Vrykolakas, a bloated, bleeding, undead, evil-smelling monster.
Jesus.
Unlike vampires, they are actually more cannibalistic, And instead of sucking blood, will kill humans to eat their livers.
Their livers?
Yeah, specifically. They really like livers.
Good Lord. Well, I'll tell you what. At least they kill you, because there's some animals out there that won't wait for that. They'll just start eating.
Right. Well, maybe these guys will. I don't know too much about the process.
Oh, no.
But the scariest part about these motherfuckers is that to become a Vrykolakas, you don't have to be bitten or catch a disease. In fact, in the time of ancient Greece, there were so many different ways that you could become one. That includes if an animal or an insect jumps or flies over a corpse before burial.
What? That's all it takes?
You're a monster.
No way.
If a human reaches over a corpse before burial, you're a monster.
Whoa.
If you eat the meat of a sheep that had been wounded by a wolf, uh-oh, you're a monster.
Well, I would agree with that.
If you're a shitty person while you are alive, better pin down that pelvis, buddy, because you're a monster now.
There's so many different things it could be.
If you have red hair.
No way.
If you have red hair.
Like my daughter? Like your sister?
They're monsters.
Oh, no!
I didn't want to tell you that, but they are monsters.
Oh, God.
I'm not saying that they're specifically of Vrykolakas, but I'll just say when it comes time for the burial, you're going a little deeper than 6 feet. Other prime candidates were murder victims, mothers who died in childbirth, people who died from drowning, strokes, plague, or a curse.
Okay.
Add to that, people who died too young, people who died too old.
What does too old mean? What does dying too old really mean? You live too good of a life?
It's kind of like, I guess David's going to be checking out soon because he just hit, I don't know, this was ancient Greece. He just hit 14. And once David hits his 16th birthday, you're looking a little too good for your age, David. Could it be that you have been sustaining yourself on the blood of other humans?
Okay.
Possibly.
So it's a little suspicious, maybe.
You're getting buried.
So it really feels like anything remotely bad or weird, you're a monster.
Or you were at least susceptible to becoming one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to have to crunch the numbers here, but just in terms of sheer evidence, the fact that they were so worried about these things and they thought that so many people could turn into one of these monsters, that kind of suggests this might have been a really big problem.
Oh my God, you have no idea how big of a problem this was. And that's what we're going to get onto next because, you know, now that we've covered kind of what these creatures are and how they work, it's really interesting to talk about how much surprising evidence there is to maybe back up the claims that this was a real epidemic, a real problem that these people had to deal with. But before we dive into these historical texts and ancient classified documents, how about a quick word from today's sponsors?
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Kit, as humans, we have to deal with a lot day to day. Sometimes you can feel like your social battery is drained.
Not just my social battery, my regular battery.
Why do you have a regular battery?
I'm not a robot or anything. I'm definitely human.
Right. And as humans, it's important that we understand ourselves so that we can build a social life that works for us.
Yes. I love sharing human memories with my human friends.
So the way you're speaking makes me think that you definitely are a robot.
I'm not. I love all human things. Food, oil.
Okay, so the second thing was already weird.
Huh?
Kit might be a robot, but humans aren't. We need to look after ourselves, and one way to do that is through therapy. With BetterHelp, you can get matched with a licensed therapist that suits your needs. It's online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
I live for thousands of years, so
okay,
my schedule is very flexible.
Fantastic. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/paranormallife today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/paranormallife.
Affirmative.
All right, Kit, as we said, it is time to dive back once more into the history of ancient Greece, because as I said, it may surprise you to know that there is evidence out there, and it's buried in ancient texts and historical records. While legends of the Vrykolakos can be found all over ancient Greece, no place has more stories than the Greek island of Santorini, which at one point had the reputation of being the most vampire-infested place in the world. Imagine being the island that's famous for how many vampires are trapped there. Not a good look.
This is so f***ed up because, have you seen what Santorini looks like?
It's gorgeous, right?
It's famously one of the most romantic, beautiful locations on planet Earth. It's absolutely stunning.
A lot of vampires too, apparently.
But hey, vampires like nice places too. No one said they didn't.
You're like, the people there look like they haven't aged a day. It's incredible. There's a dude there called Giovanni who wears like a lot of vintage clothing. It's like pretty tattered. Looks like it's kind of from 800 BC.
An island famous for its sunsets, which does pose a problem to the vampire population.
This place was apparently so infested by vampires that allegedly, if someone thought that their deceased family member could come back as a Vrykolakos, they would ship the body to the island so the locals could kill it. kill it again.
I like this little cottage industry they got going. They're like the pest control of the paranormal world.
Yeah. If they're like, hey, we have a real bad vampire problem, which kind of means we know how to deal with this shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Way back in 1642, a French Catholic priest named Francois Richard was working basically as a missionary. And the location that he was based? Santorini.
Mm.
While on the island, he wrote an extensive journal about his time there. And if you read it, you'd probably expect stories about the church, the locals, and his journey.
Maybe some of the beautiful Greek food that it's just famous for.
Yeah, the rewarding challenge of converting the locals to the way of the Lord. It was actually pretty heavy on the vampires.
It's Twilight 1. It's the first book. New Moon, or whatever the f*** it's called.
There's a French Catholic priest named Stephanie Meyer. She actually wrote a collection of pretty interesting, pretty horny vampire books.
Yeah, he ended up spending a lot of time at the local high school.
This is a man of the church. This is the motherfucker who's supposed to be converting people to his religion. And he shows up and immediately is introduced to vampires, something that he's never seen before. Could you imagine him coming to the island with, like, you know, the robes and the Bible and the cross, and the locals kind of run up to meet him at the dock, and they're like, oh, thank God, are you here to help with the vampires? And he's like, the what?
The why?
I'm here to tell you all about Jesus. What are you doing over here?
They're like, oh, that's cool. Is he going to help? Because we need help.
Where's Jesus? Is he coming next? Is that the next boat?
Because we need a miracle, brother. we need one fast.
You never even heard of him. Who's Jesus? Does he have a gun? In his writing, he describes the dead coming back to life at night to exterminate the islanders.
What the fuck?
Isn't this crazy? He talks about the locals digging up graves and burning bodies, exorcism ceremonies by priests already on the island, and other people impaling bodies to the ground before burial.
I'm pretty sure it's not even a big island, by the way.
No! It's kind of crazy that the one dude who's supposed to, like, not have a horse in this race at all comes to the island, and the only thing he wants to talk about when he gets back is how many vampires there are. Like, I'm pretty sure maybe there's a creature in the Bible, I guess demons. Maybe he was kind of seeing them as demons. But he had this otherworldly experience.
I mean, it is true. In many of our cases on the podcast, it's come up before that religious people will turn up throughout, because whilst it's not exactly their jurisdiction, it's not their jurisdiction. It's not anybody else's. And so they kind of weirdly do think about some of these things more than doctors, lawyers, or dentists.
Yeah. And, you know, these are people who, if they're seeing something paranormal, as we've said before, they're trying to view it and explain it within their belief system.
Mm-hmm.
So if they see a cryptid, they'll be like, that is a demon that is talked about in the Bible that I believe in, that I know about.
Yeah.
One really cool quote from the book was, quote, I want some of our atheists in France to come here. not to hear, but to see with their own eyes in the light of day, and to see how unjust they are to believe that when a man dies, everything dies with him.
Wow.
Pretty cool. He's kind of twisting that into being like, you know, he sees a vampire walking on the street and he's like, my God, the Bible was right. You know, he's like, there is something after death. There is a mystical kind of force in the world that is unexplained. That atheists think when you die, you die. And he's like, I just saw a guy burst out of the ground. Now, I will say I did cherry pick some of the cooler quotes. Because also in the book, he said that vampires have become so unrestrained that they not only run here and there at night, but also they show up at noon and go into the fields to collect beans.
Okay. That changes quite a lot. That does change quite a lot.
What?
They pick beans.
Can a vampire harvest a couple beans?
So they're
during
workers?
The day? What?
So they have jobs.
They don't have jobs.
The vampires have jobs.
Vampires
got to
eat. Vampire's got to eat, and if there's a couple
flesh,
beans in the
I
field,
thought,
there's a
I
couple beans
flesh.
Up for grabs. I ain't going to say no. Look, what do you have on the plate with your sausages? Beans, motherfucker. You eat it with your meat.
So you're saying this was an accoutrement to their flesh meal.
They kind of had a charcuterie board of, you know, delicious little snacks. Some beans.
They're Greek.
Some fresh.
Didn't we say they were Greek? They eat feta cheese too.
Yeah, and a bit of liver and maybe some human flesh, you know, mixed up in there.
Strangely, I think we did talk about this on a very early episode of This Paranormal Life, that I think it was the Greeks that were quite funny about beans. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that at all.
That it's like, I don't fucking remember, man, but it's like something like the Greek word for bean is like literally death. It's coming back to me. There was like, whether it was a lima bean or whatever, there was some type of bean that certain people had allergic reactions to. And so,
right.
So many people died from eating these that they were like, man, these things are f***ed up. They're demonic.
Right, even though it was just people having allergic reactions. I can get that. I love it if it was just a jelly bean. They'd never seen a jelly bean before. They're like, this is so fucking crazy.
Look at its
shape. It tastes like strawberries, but it's a bean.
I'm going to Google death bean and see what that means.
Great band name.
I think they're on tour in Poland at the moment. Ah, fava beans. That was it.
They were called the death bean?
Greek mathematician Pythagoras believed that fava beans contained the souls of the dead.
Whoa!
So, I don't know. I'm just saying.
That
these vampires are... harvesting beans? That's kind of interesting.
That checks out. You know, if they're undead, harvesting bean souls, death beans, during the day, eating flesh at night, it does kind of check out.
There's something so fucking funny, though, about the priest being like, I don't know what to tell you. They're up at noon now. They started waking up early. We cannot get away from these
f***ers. the way he words it is just like, it's so commonplace now that, like, some of them ride the bus. Like, they're everywhere. We're kind of living hand in hand now. Another book on Santorini published in 1699 said, something inconceivable is happening on that island. Some of the dead return to their homes a few days after their burial, and no one knows what revives them. The
what?
People of Santorini call them vrikolakas.
You need to stop explaining what... You need to stop telling me what's happening. And you need to start explaining. And fast. Because we're hearing a lot about the what. And I need to know why. You're telling us insane shit here. You're telling us that en masse, only a few hundred years ago, people were very regularly dying, being buried, and then just their husband or wife a few days later just comes downstairs and they're eating a bowl of Cheerios, watching TV, and they're like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah, I mean, don't expect any kind of explanation in the process of this thing. Look, all I'm going to say is, okay, here's one explanation, all right? You know, Kit, it seems like, you know, based off these records, we are talking about something that was a big deal in these ancient civilizations. Could we, Kit, be looking at a cryptid that once haunted these civilizations, but through their retaliation, no longer exist to haunt us?
I mean, that's what we're beating around the bush of right now, is it sounds like, whether you think this is paranormal or scientific, it sounds like something's going on.
Right.
That isn't happening today.
It's kind of like when you hear about people looking for Bigfoot. to this day in the woods with trail cams, night vision goggles, looking for Bigfoot, because we heard stories from 100 years ago or saw the Patterson footage whenever that was shot, and now we're still looking for him. He probably died. He's probably dead. If he is a real creature,
That was in the footage,
he died a long time ago. And maybe this is a more dramatic version of that instance, which is basically we had a monster that existed in the past, but because these people were pinning the suspects to their graves, dealing with it, burning the bodies, maybe it died out. Maybe we don't have to deal with it anymore.
I've watched enough Resident Evil movies, enough terrible Resident Evil movies, to know how this goes. Let me tell you about another little monster that has come out of nowhere and will hopefully be gone soon.
Coronavirus. H1N1, swine flu, bird flu.
Yeah, I don't want to get too controversial on the podcast, so let's just keep
it light. A plandemic?
No.
You're telling me there was an ancient plandemic?
What I'm saying is, back in the day...
There's always a really funny bit where it's like the person, you rally the other person up, and then they take it in a direction that you don't want it to be taken in. It's like, oh, you don't have to tell me about ancient monsters. We're on the same page here. Yeah, I've heard a little ancient monster before. Godzilla. It's like, no, that's not quite what I was getting at.
The lizard walks among us to this day.
Back in the day, if some sort of novel Ebola virus came along,
right,
that made you bleed from the eye sockets, people would think that was pretty paranormal.
Yeah.
But we've got an explanation for that today. Maybe something else was going on there. Granted, a lot more dramatic than coronavirus.
True.
Causing you to literally rise from the dead.
Rise from the dead.
But this is the premise of, you know, I Am Legend, any remotely zombie-themed movie.
Yeah, and I mean, we will go on to talk about this a little bit, but there's even room to believe that maybe not the creatures, but the culture of the Vrykolakas still exists to this day. There's a lot of people in these smaller places in Greece that still, I guess it's probably become folklore at this point, but kind of loosely believe that it either can happen or did happen in the past.
Got you. Banshee vibes.
Now, these creatures are mentioned a lot, from ancient Greece to the Ottoman Empire to the Byzantine Empire. I wanted to see if the church mentioned them specifically, but believe it or not, there is not a comprehensive history of the Byzantine church for the general reader.
Sure. Not just a digestible Vice article on that one.
Unless you consider John Julius Norwich's so-called History of Byzantium, which I don't, of course.
What a fucking clown.
But even beyond Greece, there are more examples of this than you realize. And from almost every corner of the earth. The earliest recorded finds are from Cyprus and date back to the Neolithic period, which began 7,500 years ago.
Yeah, okay, that is winding the clock back quite a bit.
Bodies buried in pit graves were pinned by millstones that were placed either on their heads or chests. A similar burial was found almost 4,000 years ago, where the body was flexed, placed in a stone-built cistern, and restrained with a large rock.
This is crazy.
This concept of the dead coming back to life is, it seems like, in a way, it's one of mankind's oldest and most consistent paranormal beliefs, which is pretty cool. People just think it started with vampires, started with Dracula and these works of fiction. These f***ing cavemen were scared that their husbands and wives were going to be coming back from the dead.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? That, you know, even though, granted, I understand these early humans were literally as smart as we are now, they just didn't have as much access to information. I'm not saying they were stupid, but this is so fundamental. It's like the most fundamental human belief. It's like, all we know as humans is when we're baby, we wake up, then we collect berries until we go bye-bye.
Maybe beans.
Then when we go bye-bye, we stay bye-bye.
Yeah.
Unless the bad thing happens and then we no go bye-bye no more.
Yeah, it was the earliest version. It was the earliest Shyamalan twist. It's like, but what if? Come back from bye-bye.
Everyone goes,
we better make sure people go bye-bye. We're going to make sure.
Right, with a big rock.
Yeah, which was their gun, I guess, at the time. That was kind of their form of protection. Hey, I'm not going to insult the intelligence of the early cavemen. They invented the wheel.
Right.
And the only thing I invented was my own cereal that one time, which we discussed was just me cutting up a Nutri-Grain bar and putting it in a bowl with milk.
just as a brief tangent, I was actually reading recently about Neolithic and that kind of era, Ireland. You'll know from growing up where we did in Northern Ireland that we've got the Mount Sandal area is quite near us. But you'll remember we did like school trips as kids where they showed us like the forests and they were like, yeah, there was actually a really early human settlement here.
Yeah.
Where people arrived in Ireland and lived in these forests, collected berries, hunted for salmon.
I do remember that.
Stuff like that. What I didn't realize as a kid, because I wasn't listening, obviously,
of course,
was that that's actually where we're from is the oldest evidence of humans anywhere in Ireland. So it's about 9,000 years old.
Wow.
But that was literally the first ones arrived right where we're from. And then they kind of filtered out and went other places.
That's crazy. I wonder if there's some burials and graves that you can go visit kind of around that area.
I do know that there was one site that they actually found not that long ago, maybe like 20 years ago or something. And they built a giant holiday home estate on top of it. It was a big scandal, actually. A lot of people got rich and a lot of stuff got destroyed.
That's
so,
capitalism's version of a big stone slab.
Build apartments.
Yeah. We built a Holiday Inn on your grave so your ass stays down. That's crazy.
Yeah, I wonder if in 10,000 years the aliens will be like, man, these humans believe such interesting things. They put a fucking hotel on top of this ancient burial ground. Man, they must have been trying to keep those bodies in the ground. It's like, no, they just didn't care about people or things.
Just disrespected ancient civilizations. Well, look, kid, we know what these creatures are now. We've heard stories about the genuine historical records that talk about them. But how can we protect ourselves from these creatures if, hypothetically, they were still in existence?
Don't say hypothetically. You said people still believe this shit to this day.
Oh, they do. And as I said, a lot of this shit went down on tiny Greek islands. Who's to say there isn't a tiny Greek island out there that's been scribbled off the maps by the MIBs and the fucking men at the top so that people don't know? There's a vampire island, and at any point when people need to cause a little chaos, oh, turns out a vampire got away on that boat. Oh, that's a real shame, isn't it? First off, we keep saying vampire. They are not vampires.
Right, Ricolacas.
We have to make that completely clear because they are very different than vampires. I mean, one big difference is they are actually believed to knock on the doors of houses and call out the name of the people inside. If nobody answers, they will simply move on. But anybody that opens that door to one of these vampire zombies, they will die within 3 days.
Jesus. This is exactly why I don't answer calls from unknown numbers, in case it's a free cola cast.
Yeah, you got to be careful, even in the digital world. Then, of course, after 3 days, you will rise again. You die temporarily, rise again. You've become a free cola cast, and the curse spreads. But as I said, to this day, there are regions of Greece where nobody answers the door on the first knock, which is quite cool.
That's insane. Wow.
If you're going to go after a corpse that's already become a Vrikolakas, you have to attack it on a Saturday, as that is the only day that they actually rest in their graves.
Hey, everybody needs a day off.
And you can pick from a variety of different methods. Exercising, impaling, beheading, clubbing, setting fire to the suspect. They're all pretty effective. You can, of course, just weigh the son of a bitch down so it can't move. Other techniques include severing the tendons or the knees.
Tie their shoelaces together.
Yeah.
Anything, really.
The strangest one of all is you can place poppy seeds or sand on the ground at the gravesite of a presumed vampire. And if indeed the person does come back to life, they'll be so preoccupied trying to count the grains on the ground to do any killing.
I love that. That's cool. I mean, this is... That's the ancient version of our Netflix and Pringles theory.
Yeah. It's like, you know, that first night the Vrikolakas comes up, it's like, all right, Saturday's over, Sunday, I'm going to eat some livers. I'm going to pick some...
It's a big night. It's a big night.
I'm going to pick
Sunday's
some
Sunday's a new Saturday.
I'm going to, go on a rampage. Oh, shit. Why is there sand in my... Why is there sand in my grave? That's nuts. How much is there, I wonder? That's one grain, two grain, three grain... Oh, shit, there's tons. I'm gonna sit down for a second.
Yeah.
It's gonna take a while.
I'm hungry though, so I'm gonna head on like 15. But I just quickly.
Yeah, just count the grain. I lost count. Fuck. All right, it's one grain, two grain, three grain.
Hey, Greg, you coming?
Yes. You guys go without me. I just got this sand everywhere. Yeah, I gotta.
Bro, you know what happens when you start counting sand? You find it real hard to stop cutting sand.
No,
so
dude, honestly,
We're gonna see you at the party.
Yeah, bring some beans back though, just in case because there's a lot of sand here.
No, you're doing that thing again.
All right, fine. I won't count the sand. I'm just gonna grab. Oh, there's poppy seeds as well.
All right, we're going without you.
Apparently it works. I like it as well. It's kind of a, hey, maybe if your loved one passes on, becomes a Ricola cast, it's like every zombie movie ever where the person is like,
sure,
I can't kill them. It's my Susan. Oh. Yeah. And of course, Susan is like, rah, 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 rah.
It ain't Susan anymore.
And it's like, oh, reminds me of my beautiful wife. It's hard. So this is just a nice little workaround. Just make them count seeds and shit. And that pretty much brings us to the end of our case and the end of the history and the legends around the Greek vampire known as the Vrikolakas.
Wow. Hey, a rip-stopping, rip-roaring tour de force tour through ancient Greece. I feel disturbed, though, because it felt like we uncovered a lot and now it's just an open-ended kind of f***ed up, is it going to be there when I go back to my room?
Right. Yeah. We kind of introduced you to a creature that, for all intents and purposes, is gone, has been gone for many, many years. But also,
unless
there's a tiny Greek island out there, like Santorini, probably not Santorini, maybe a smaller one off the map, off the grid, that still may contain one or two of these creatures that we thought was lost to time itself.
Right, somewhere in Greece right now, there's a lot of, like, hipster Vrikolakas wearing vintage clothes, drinking tins of Red Stripes, sitting around going like, bro, they gentrified Santorini so bad, bro. It's like, oh, it's just like, you can't even like just be a Vrikolakas there anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I tried to like pick some beans there the other day and the locals were like, get out of here, get out of here.
I'm trying to take an Instagram selfie.
For literally 3,000 years. And you're going to tell me I can't pick beans here anymore? I mean, hey, is it so unrealistic to think that these creatures could exist? Even in London? I mean, I'm not saying that I'm a Vrikolakas, but hey, some of this description in here, tired, bloating, pale complexion, you know, these are ticking a lot of boxes here.
Dude, I just got off a flight to Stansted Airport on EasyJet. There was a couple undead freaks on that plane. I'm certain of it. Something is not right.
And I mean, I think they must have bit you or something, bro, because a lot of these descriptions are lining up with you perfectly.
Tired
eyes.
Way. Yeah, well, that's because I'm a parent.
No friends.
I can't eat on account of the Visalign.
Erectile dysfunction.
Oh, yeah, you've gone far enough. You've gone far enough.
A lot of these
Sorry, I have to remember you don't. That was a joke.
It was a bit I was doing, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I was trying to do a bit.
Can we cut it, though? Because I got pretty amped up.
Which is weird, because obviously it's not a problem that you have, so why would you be offended?
I think it's the Visalign, it hurts, and I just like, so I just kind of control my emotions. Okay. Let's just move on.
Okay. To the other descriptions of the creatures. Insecure. Yeah. They say a lot of the Vrikolakas are insecure.
Don't care about that.
Invisalign.
There's no way.
Well, get those fangs.
I don't have Invisalign.
Nice.
I have Visalign. Alfred got me Visalign.
I'm just saying, hypothetically, these creatures could walk among us. You know, when you get home from school, when you get home from work, just take a little look at the ones nearest and dearest to you. See if they match any of the descriptions that we've talked about on the podcast. Have they recently or ever taken a trip to Greece? Or Santorini.
How often do they eat beans?
What kind of beans?
Yeah.
Jelly or death? We should know. That's important. As I said, that's kind of all the information that we have on the Vrikolakas. And at the end of the day, we have to come down on a conclusion like we do with any case. So I'm going to throw it to you, Kit. I feel like I've been talking a lot this episode. So let me know where your head's at. What do you think about these ancient cryptids?
Well, you know, I love to go back into ancient times. I think it's really fun to wind back the clock a really long way, not just like the 70s or the 80s or all the places we end up all the time here on TPL, but to look at how people who, even though they lived completely different lives in a completely different world to us today, they still had the same myths, beliefs, and also fears about many of the same things, you know, that are in our culture and media today. And undoubtedly, I'm shocked by what I've heard, just how widespread this was and just how long a period this was over. Of course, our big problem is at the end of TPL episodes, we have to decide whether something is paranormal or not.
Yeah.
we need evidence to decide that.
Not always.
And
not always. Sometimes we just kind of...
Not often. Maybe in exceptional circumstances where it's just so overwhelming. But like normally we need something. Whereas as wild as this is, that so people were so into this a long time ago, maybe the evidence has died with the Bricola cast themselves.
Yeah. That may be what we're looking at. Now, it's going to be hard to say because when you're talking about a creature that's this old and this ancient, if the whole point of it is that it doesn't exist anymore, guess what else doesn't exist anymore? The evidence.
Yeah.
I recently played a really cool video game, actually, called House of Ashes. And the idea behind it is that it's like set during the Iraq War. And during the conflict, a bunch of soldiers fall into the earth and discover kind of an ancient temple that was buried for thousands of years.
Sounding like an episode of this podcast.
It kind of sounds like this. And inside the temple, they didn't realize it had been built to keep captive these ancient kind of vampiric creatures that had existed for thousands and thousands of years. It's a really cool idea. You know, when we talk about cryptids, we are usually talking about creatures that are at least existed in the last few hundred years. It's crazy to think that you can go back to the beginning of man's adventure on this planet. There were probably some monsters kicking about back then, too. But as we said, it becomes very difficult to concretely decide whether or not this is just legends and myths passed down from generation to generation or a real creature. And because of that, I think today, even though I love the story, I love the history around it, I think it's fascinating, it is going to be a no for me this week.
That's it. The $1 million question is, did people go bye-bye and then no go bye-bye, or did they stay bye-bye?
Right. You think they stayed bye-bye?
I think today we're saying it's a double bye-bye. They stayed bye-bye. It's a double no.
It's a double bye-bye on today's case. But damn, hey, that was a fun one. Thank you to Amy Grisdale for researching this week's episode and Philip Shacklady for editing.
Fucking hell, Rory. I'm kind of glad you got around to this case in the end because...
Sorry. Yeah, let me credit the person. This was a submission that we got on our email.
Nope, no time. Sorry,
it was a really good suggestion. It was a really good suggestion, though.
I'm glad you've got around to this because...
Yeah, just give me a second because it was really sweet. It was like, I'm a huge fan of the show. It would mean the world to me
care.
And my Greek heritage if you would investigate this.
So loser.
Like, it would just be nice
you
to...
You missed it.
Give him that,
missed
that shadow
it.
Boy. Zach McCrell.
Delete
Zach
that.
McCrell.
Delete that.
He said he just watched the 1945 film Isle of the Dead last night, which involves a Greek paranormal creature called the Vrikolakas. I hadn't heard of this movie or the creature, so it was great to investigate it. So thank you, Zach, for recommending this. And if you want to recommend a case, please do send us an email to thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com and we will look into it. You okay now that I gave him the shout out? You fine? Because you seem like you're kind of bitter that I interrupted you and... Gave him some attention.
I just had like a big anecdote, is all.
Okay, you can still do the anecdote.
No,
it's not.
I'm going to save it.
Save it for when? How is it
going to... The next episode. My episode.
And it's going to make sense?
Absolutely.
All right, fine. I guess we'll...
Because maybe on my episode, okay. I won't interrupt myself. Actually, that does happen quite a lot.
Yeah, you do it more than I think I interrupt you.
But the point remains. Okay, so... The point remains.
Yeah. Okay, so...
See, how do you like it?
Do you want to tell the anecdote or do you not want to tell the anecdote?
I don't, because I've missed the opportunity.
Okay, well then, thank you, Zach, then, for recommending that case.
Shut up, you! Thanks, Zach! Sorry, I'm just going to interrupt Rory anytime I get. So, thanks.
You don't know how to end the episode, so it's going to be a weird
thanks,
thing.
Jack, for sending that in.
Wasn't his name.
Cheers, everyone. Nice one.
You're clearly
nice
so
Nice one,
thrown.
Basically.
Your gums are bleeding.
It's...
Your gums are bleeding.
I have to call Alfred. I have to call him because this isn't right. And I understand that they do things differently in Uzbekistan, but like this still can't be like legal because it's like, this is so sore. This is so bad. It's so bad.
You said it wouldn't bleed, Alfred. You lied. You're a criminal. hey, you know what? We should say, if you want to see Kit's visible Visalign.
Bleeding gums Mulvana over here.
You can do it because we have started our adventure once again into the world of video!
In 4D, 8K, 7D. You can see us. You can feel us.
You can. If you head over to YouTube or Twitter or Instagram or any of our social media platforms, you will be able to find your favorite moments from every episode of This Paranormal Life going forward, broken down into video form. So if there's a funny moment you want to show your friends, if there's a clip you want to use to recommend the show to other people, you'll be able to watch it now in every form. We're so excited to be doing this, and hopefully this will be the first step towards full video episodes. Stop touching your gums, man. You're not going to be able to plug up those holes.
Oh, Jesus.
It's pouring out of Kit's mouth now like a faucet. You're literally a Vricola like us. You have ice white skin.
Bloated.
Blood dripping from your mouth. Erectile dysfunction.
No, I don't. Sorry. I don't. I don't have any of those. Especially not the last one. We're all good down there. This pelvis needs lockdown. It needs lockdown. The links are in the description for youtube.com/@thisparanormallife and the others, Twitter, Instagram, everywhere we're posting videos.
Go check it out. We're going to be doing so much fun stuff on socials in the next year, to be fair. So yeah, go check it out. You're going to love it. But if you want a little more, even more than videos, then you need to head on over to patreon.com, where if you're a fan of the show, you can get access to a bunch of other cool bonus shit. More weekly episodes, monthly episodes. You think the Vricola casts are cool and dangerous and scary? Imagine the shit that we have to put behind a paywall because it's like the Indiana Jones and the Lost Ark. If mortals see it, it melts your face. So we have to hide it so only people who sign up to the tier and sign a waiver to say we're not responsible for any melted face, they can get access to those episodes.
So put on your ski goggles and open up patreon.com/thisparanormallife.
And of course, also over on Patreon, you can get shout-outs at the end of episodes. And that's what we're going to do right now.
Thank you to Nazbaz.
Nazbaz took a little trip to Santorini last year and the boat didn't come back.
No.
It's true. They have just been picking beans during the day.
They're every Vricola guys.
They're every Vricola guys. Okay. I didn't want to. I was going to build up to it.
Right, you were.
You start something small like the
metaphor,
beans.
Metaphor, yeah.
And then I'd say, like, and weirdly, they sleep in a grave, you know, kind of build up to it. But you guessed it. They're a full blown zombie at this point. But I'm glad to hear that they're still enjoying the podcast and getting some representation.
Thank you also to Chris Hales. Chris Hales from Santorini. They were born on the island and lasted about 1 week before that little newborn was turned into a little newborn Vricola cast.
They were born on the island, died on the island, then born again on the island, it turned out. Wow, didn't realize we had such a big fan base in Santorini.
It is improbable, but they heard a little preview of this episode and they couldn't wait to hear us talk about the island. So thanks, Chris. Thank you also to Daniela Little.
Daniela, you're going to do just great in the commune because we got everything that you're used to. A little bit of water, a little bit of food, a little bit of shelter, you know? And you seem like the kind of person that's okay with that, if that's your lifestyle. We have a lot of bit of famine.
Okay, we have a lot of
pestilence.
We've said enough.
Okay, but we also have, we have a little bit of fun. Too. We keep it
a little bit
of lightheartedness, so you're going to enjoy yourself. Thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon and everyone who tuned in to this week's episode of the podcast. We hope to see you again next Tuesday. As I said, go onto the socials, check out some of these videos. They're going to be very funny. There may be some of you who don't even know what Kit and I look like in real life, which is kind of scary. But I gave, obviously,
tens.
A pretty accurate description of Kit. Obviously, the bloating, thin skin, the
all
bony.
Right. Thanks, everyone.
Bony
good night.
Thank you. We love you. We'll see you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.